Story God Pod. It's trying to offer some snackable formation for the church body here at Norton Grace. As you guys kind of walk through the week, hope that we can just have some conversations to push along what we had on Sundays and that it's useful for you. Don't worry, Dan will be back. You guys all calm down. It's me and Ethan again. And Ethan was so sweet. You like that?
Yeah,
sweet.
Well,
brought a little half sheet of paper.
There we go.
With some things for us to chat about on them. These are things that you'll never get from me. You'll get a text before that's like, here's some ideas.
Yours are usually better, though. That's the problem.
Well, I didn't want to say in front of them. That's clearly not true. Hey, so you talked about the body of Christ this week, which is, it's interesting even just saying, hey, for the church body, how often we say those things, and it becomes maybe a cliche in some ideas, but this beautiful picture Jesus gives us for how we relate together, how we relate to him, how we're to function. Mm-hmm. And I love you know, there's so much in here, and people's default when they think about the body, and you covered this, and it's important that we cover this, is, hey, what does that look like when we gather together? You know, what does it look like for the body? And I kind of said this in one of our meetings today. I got to be in Power Kids, and so this past Sunday. And it was so cool to get to see different parts of the body. You know what I mean? Yeah. Different people volunteering and loving kids and serving kids and chat safety team. And there were some people that were teaching kids that taught me when I was, you know, young and all those things. It was just, you know, apparently AI thing still thinks I'm young. Wouldn't make me
you're
do a baby.
Still a minor. Yeah.
Still a minor according to AI.
Yeah.
But, just got to see this beautiful picture of the body, but I'm curious to ask you, we were kind of talking about this. We see that play out on Sunday mornings. You know what I mean? Or weekends. We're just in the function of the church, almost organizationally.
Yeah.
How do you think some of that looks like outside of like something programmed?
Sure. You know,
outside of maybe the Sunday morning gathering, what does the body of Christ look like outside of the walls, so to say, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of gave a couple yesterday, but we have things going on around the church as a whole. So when you think about the body, you always think like, well, it's got to be within the church building.
Sure.
And so, which is not true. We're the body of Christ beyond that. And so I do think, I'm like, man, there's multiple different ways. Like a couple weeks ago, I was serving with a couple guys. We were painting some houses and stuff. And it's like the body of Christ just painting some people's houses. And you're like, okay, that's kind of cool to kind of do that together. But I think I was talking with somebody recently and they're like, man, I work at a hospital and it's me and one other person that are followers of Jesus there. And they don't even go to our church. They're connected to another church somewhere. But she's like, I built a relationship with this person. And it's like, we look at that as our mission field a little bit. And I'm like, you are the body. You're caring for people as Christ would in the world. And so I'm like, you are the physical presence of Jesus out in the world.
Yeah.
And so I think about that in your workplace. You get to be part of the body that I would never be able to. Nobody's asking me to help them in the hospitals, right?
Like they are not.
Like they, and you don't want me to because I can't play that part or that function in the body as well as other people in our church can. So I think about that in your job for sure. I think about that in some giftings. Like we kind of shared this Sunday, but like, man, the gift of generosity, but that goes beyond the four walls of the church.
Yeah.
I'm not just generous to the church. I'm generous in my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And one, to encourage the body. I didn't get the chance to really touch much on this, but I'm like, it's amazing how the body encourages one another. Like when you see the parts of the body moving and you're like, wow, I didn't know we could do that. Like we do that. And so it's encouragement, but it's also then it's a blessing to the world. Like the body isn't just for the sake of the body. The body's for the sake of movement in the world. And so, I think about that. I think encouragement's another one of those things where you're like, I can be encouraging to others. There's so many different ways, gifts that way that the body operates. But then I think like families, like probably moms listening to this, that you're like, you are part of the body by being the physical presence of Jesus in your home to your kids as you're watching them grow and investing in them. You're doing a role that none of us can do, and you're part of the body. You're shaping these young lives that are part of the body.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know what comes to your brain as you think about that, kicking that around.
I think you kind of think about Jesus is the head of his church. He's the head of the body. And so that almost takes on like global forms of like the global body of Christ, like the church is the body of Christ in a global sense. And then, you know, we're kind of these local expressions of that. like, hey, the Norton campus, we are a church body. We're going to look at this week, church family. Like, what does that look like locally?
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, the question is, as you're talking, is if Jesus is the head and we're his body, what's he want to do with his body? You know what I mean? And so that takes shape locally as we gather for church services and all those parts of the family, the body coming together to make, we would use the language to make Jesus make sense, to make disciples, to everything from helping kids understand Jesus to our community gathered around a concept in the gospel and in the scriptures as we go into the world. Hmm. But I think it's that question of what is the head, Christ, want to do in the world? And you're exactly right. You know, making disciples and bringing, as we looked at the last couple of weeks, bringing his truth and his character and his saving power into all areas. So mm-hmm. if that's just within the walls, or just that's a pretty small, but we look at the bigger picture. So yeah. You talked about moms raising kids or people doing their business at work, those medical professionals, that's the body of Christ moving in these different areas. And I'm encouraged when I hear those stories, when you hear of the way that God is using people and the ways that he's gifted them in the unique settings that they, some people are great at. There's a guy I can think of who is just great at organizing things and almost like taking something that's kind of not working very well and making it work like organizationally. Mm. And he loves Jesus and is going to do that with the heart and character of Christ. And you think about those things. So I think the question is, Jesus is as the head, isn't just to pull off a weekend or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that is a part, that's a local expression for all those purposes of what is happening on a weekend gathering, but for the bigger purpose of his people making disciples, which is what he's called us to do. So yeah. I think about that. What does our head want, in those ways? And so, I think of that. And then all, like you said, word encouragement. There's something about seeing the way that God has gifted people in their circumstances, in their situations, in their, that's just a blessing to me. You know, that's encouraging to be like, oh man, this is how. Like, I just talked to a guy this week who I would say he has the gift of evangelism. Yeah. Probably know who I'm talking about. And he just always shows up.
Yeah.
But God's gifted him in that way, you know? And what's cool is he's not here all week. He is out in the world. And he was talking about a conversation with a guy who was so, we had a conversation last week about the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he was working in sales and talking to this guy. And this guy's like, man, he all negative to say about the church.
Hmm.
Well, this guy, the evangelist friend of mine, started asking questions to this person, and now he's texting with this guy because this guy went through a hard thing, lost, I believe it was a family member and all these things and whatever, but he had his own pain. And now this guy, I know I'm encouraged by seeing this evangelist. Yep. I'll use that word from the scripture, you know, this gift he has at work, and I'm encouraged in the role and world that I have. And so I think there's something about that. What does our head want?
Yeah.
You know, and all those things.
I remember you, I think, did a sermon on this a while back where you spoke about the gifts that just the Spirit gives to each parts of the body and things like that. But one of them was prophecy, which we try to, like, some of these sound mystical in some sense. And you're like, when we just try and pull it apart, make sense of it, it's like speaking the words of God into the world in a very specific situation sometimes. And sometimes it's like it truly blesses them. But there's certain people that I can think of that I'm like, man, they just, anytime I talk to them, it seems like they just have a word from God pertaining to my situation.
Sure.
And you're like, we wouldn't say it like that. You got the gift of prophecy. Sometimes we focus on which gifts we have or don't have. Like it's a, we were talking just before we started this thing, like it's a Myers-Briggs test or something like that. Like which gift do I have? Like, and maybe those things are fine, but sometimes it's just like, wow, I just see this in you. And I'm so grateful for the part you play. It's not so much what gift do I have? It's just like, that's just how I naturally operate. Like God's given it to me by his grace to be able to think this way, I guess. Or
Yeah. I think they're to use your, different maybe streams of the church would have different views and prophecy, but we were that one specifically, we were going through 1 Corinthians a couple years ago, and to some extent, maybe a common denominator, people might feel differently about that, but there are people that are walking with the Lord, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, we might just say, hey, I was praying this morning and I was in the Psalms and I just thought of you, the Lord brought you to my mind because I was praying and thinking of the way you're serving as a mom, the way that you're a student in college, and hey, I just want to encourage you with just what the Lord put in my heart was I was thinking.
Yeah.
We wouldn't say, you know, but there's people that are gifted in that way, that like encouragement that way. Yeah. But to your point, I think that is one thing that we are, you know, what's your Myers-Briggs? What's your Enneagram? What's your whatever, what character from The Office are you? Like, we want, like, sometimes we talk about the body, the first thing that we think of is, I wonder what I am.
Yeah.
Because all of us in different ways are searching for identity, searching for meaning and purpose and all these things. And almost the way you find it isn't obsessing with what I am, but what I can do for others, because the body is meant to serve our head Christ for the sake of the world, you know? So the ear's not like, I'm over here listening to stuff, check me out. You know what I mean? And we can get preoccupied with that. But like, I asked you this question before we hit record here, but I wonder if, does it really matter if we know what our gift is? Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I have an answer to that, but like, is that the most important thing, is that I know what my gift is versus I want to serve the body?
Yeah.
In however I serve them is the way that God has gifted me to serve them, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, that's a question beyond me, I think, but
Dan will be back next week. Write that down. We'll ask him next week what he thinks.
But I do think what matters maybe more is, am I operating in the fruit of the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Am I walking with the Spirit of God? When I walk with Him, maybe my gifts will just show up.
Yeah.
And when I'm walking with Him and belonging to the body and like being a part of what's going on, I think it's so important that we gather on Sunday to unify the body and to be reminded in things. But but I think what we probably didn't have time to hit on is that when we spread out, like, that's just as important as when the body scatters and goes to different places. But I think as long as I'm walking with the Spirit, I think sometimes the Spirit will just allow me to use my giftings that I didn't know were there. And then other people will come in and go, whoa, that was helpful to me, or that encouraged, or that blessed, or that worked in my life in a way and did you know that you have maybe a gift towards this? And you're like, I'd never even thought about it like that. Or sometimes you're like, I had a hunch or was curious about it. Like, God was just kept putting this in my, but others kind of affirm that part in the body and you're like, oh, wow. But I agree with what you said. You're like, the ear's never thinking about, oh, I'm the ear. I need to be.
Yeah. And I love how you said, if we're operating in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, like, love, am I loving others?
Yeah.
Am I joy how Christ is working? Am I peace, patience, kind of, I think like just even humility and all that, like serving one another. Mm-hmm. I think it's more important to be humble than to identify your gift.
Yeah.
Because if I'm like, oh, I'm this one, and I'm not humble about it, I'm not serving the body.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's, you talked about babies yesterday.
Yeah, I did.
You got a lot of feedback, you know, just anytime you go.
Can I go back, double back before we go there?
No.
I'm sorry. I'm doubling back.
Oh, okay.
I'm doubling back.
I'll tell you, we're not going to edit it, so we'll just go back. So go for it.
But I think it reminds me of what Jesus says, when you lose your life, you'll find it. And so when I lose my life in the body of Christ and like part, it's like all of a sudden I find where I'm supposed to be at, rather than like focusing on where am I supposed to be at? Just jump in, you know?
That was pretty good.
And so I felt like it might be worth doubling
that
back. I'm really curious, before we get to the babies, if you had to pick.
You take the sheet of paper. No.
If you had to pick what office character you are. I mean, you brought it up. I'm like, I want to know.
Clearly Michael.
I had a suspicion.
Unaware. Maybe a little Creed.
A little weird. All right, we talked about babies.
And there is something, you were talking about just maturity, and I love how you talked about which is one of the things I love is, you know, different folks being baptized and different things, you see new life, and there's such joy in that. You talked about maturity and growing up in the body and how we both have young kids, you know, and you're like, I don't know who's doing more growing up, them or us, when you're in that stage, like that feels pretty. Yeah, you feel like you're always growing up, learning something, and how that can kind of mirror the body with maturity. Talk about that for a minute. Just the, what do you think maturity looks like in the body? And how do we process maturity in the body? Because it can be easy to think that maturity is knowing what your role is and that. But I don't know. What do you think that looks like as you're preparing for this week?
Yeah, so I had several conversations around this after services with different people. And for me, I got to be careful. This is a pet peeve of mine too.
Uh-oh.
And so like I have to weed through that a little bit, but I really think that maturity isn't filling my head with a bunch of knowledge about the Bible. Maturity isn't just getting around really mature Christians that seem wiser than me. And all of these things are really good, like really good things for maturity and growing. And
read your Bibles,
like that.
Folks. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Get around people that are wiser than you.
The Pharisees knew more than anybody else, but we're blind to all these other people and needs. And
That's a great way to say it. When you're blind to all the other needs around you, or you ignore, or you dismiss, or you get frustrated by people that maybe aren't as in tune, or they're learning how to walk, spiritually speaking. They're making lots of messes, spiritually speaking. They just don't make good decisions. And you're like, it's easy to get frustrated, and when really our hearts should break and have empathy and not think that we're better than we ought to think of them. But it's like, hey, I want to come alongside you. I want to walk with you. I want to help you and guide you. And in the process, like we said, as young dads, I'm like, we both grow in the process of this. Yeah. And so I just think it's important to know what's maturity not. It's it's not like the Pharisees in that sense. And maturity always stoops lower.
Yeah.
And that's what humility does, is it just stoops lower and goes, how can I help lift?
Because the reality is, you said this yesterday, babies make a lot of messes. You
know, they do.
And we can attest that as dads, you make a lot of different kind of messes. You know, where you're like, we were driving this weekend, Sarah's like, hey, you got to apologize for him about that.
Yeah.
You know, where there's just, you're like, oh man, and probably maturity probably looks, I think, in different ways of like, maturity probably, to use like the humility path, is less about me and my gifts and how long I've been and what I know, and more about encouraging those that are younger in the faith.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's probably something to maturity that looks more like being quicker to admit when we're wrong with something, because that is demonstrating a humility, that's demonstrating a Christ-likeness to maybe someone who's younger in the faith, you know? And so I think we all have that, like, man, the people that we look to as most mature in Christ, they've obviously been walking with Jesus for a long time, so they probably do know more about the Bible. They've been walking with the Lord.
Totally.
You know? But at the same time, there's also probably humility. There's probably an interest in me with my questions, being a younger follower to somebody who's been following Jesus for a longer time.
Do you think maturity ever says I'm mature? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I've been around somebody. I've been around really immature people that are like, I'm really mature. And I'm like, I don't think you are. But like, I don't know if maturity ever like proclaims itself that way.
Yeah, that's probably a good, without thinking about it too much, probably not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there is probably a sense of the most mature people, the people that I look up to that are, that I would say mature in their faith, or the people that I'm like, I respect or want to follow, are probably like our learners, are probably like, I'm still learning this. I love Jesus and I have to, you know, like all those things are probably, probably if someone's like, well, I'm pretty mature, so why don't you come follow me? I'm like, I don't know.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah,
like, that's
maturity and arrogance can't go together. Like,
there it is. There's the tweet. Yeah.
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 There's the tweet.
Yeah. One of my boys is playing soccer, and he's like, we beat this team. We're probably going to beat this. You know, so I'm like, let's just wait, because the team who thinks they're going to beat everybody, you know, you're like, let's just, which we all have that same tendency. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty mature. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I agree with you. I think maturity says it's mature. I think it just continues to follow Jesus in humility and looks at the interests of others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Last thing I had on my slip of paper. Yeah. I think about this with the belonging to the body, the piece that the way we say it is, there's no spare parts. Mm. Talk about that. What would you say to someone who's like, I don't know what my part in the body is. I'm not sure if I belong. How do you think this picture that Jesus gives us of his body plays into our need to belong and just the idea of belonging to the body?
Yeah. I really think, I don't know, this came to my brain when you just were asking him, like, Satan's going to do everything he can to make you feel like you don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think about Jesus inviting these 12 guys to come follow him, and Satan did everything he could to get in the mind of Judas. And Judas, I think he didn't realize he had brothers that loved him and cared about him. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of Judas's story is he just feels like he doesn't belong and is isolated, alone, trades Jesus in, betrays him. And I'm just like, man, I like, I think Satan will do everything he can to try and exclude and tear apart the body. So I just think it's worth knowing that.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening and you're like, I don't feel like I belong to the body, I just would be like, that's a lie. You do. Figuring out what part. I say sometimes like there's a, probably an organized way where like, we need somebody to greet at the doors. It's like, okay, that maybe that's a great part for you and you just extroverted and you're like, that's wonderful. Maybe it's whatever, you got gifting toward kids or but I think more than any of the organized ways, it's like, how do I just commit to the idea that God says, like, it fascinated
me
that God has the one who made the body, made the parts, and he's the one who's placed them.
Yeah.
And so it's not just like you and I going, okay, let's figure out where people belong in the body. That's not at all it. It's like you belong because God's made you a part of this. It's not a mistake that you're in here in our local body. And so if you're in our local body, you're like, that's no mistake. God's put you a part of this body. So it's like jump in. And if you feel like you don't belong, it's like keep talking with people. Maybe there's things that they'll affirm that they see in you that you're like, man, you really do help us in this way, or you grow us in this way. But Satan's going to try and turn it around and just keep letting those lies in. It always makes me, this isn't a fully developed thought, all right? But
that's why we're hearing the story of God
pod. The story of God's pod about his bod. This is the week, right? Okay, sorry.
We've been saying this for a couple weeks.
I know, but this is the one.
We'll let him have. Okay, I see what you're saying.
This is the bod week.
This is the bod of God.
It always makes me nervous when people feel like they belong more outside of the body than they do in the body. So, like, man, my work is just awesome. We're united as one. And you're like, well, they don't even have any understanding of Jesus. And so there's no level of like forgiveness, grace, the peace. Like we're not united on the most foundational thing, which is Christ himself. So it just makes me sad when people feel like they belong more there than they belong in the body, or belong more at whatever country club they're a part of.
Part of country clubs nowadays.
I don't know. I'm like, whatever club you're doing, chess club, or I don't know. But
That's a great way to think about it, that it is the body of Christ isn't a functional. Do you feel like that's true? Mm. It's a spiritual truth. Because there's a lot of times that Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. For God so loved the world. And you're like, I don't always feel like that. I don't always feel like I still carry my human baggage. Like, that's okay. But it's true.
It's true.
The fact that like, but I don't feel like I'm part of the body. Like, you don't have to feel like you're part of the body. You are. Mm. Well, how do I know? Because Jesus said you are. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in Christ, the spiritual reality is that you play part of the body. Now, what that specifically means, I don't know. Mm. You know, I think to speak to like the Sundays and weekends and serving within the, you use the word organized, sometimes that's just like, you just grab a broom. We're part of the same family.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like after we throw a kid's birthday party, you know, like I do dishes. I'm part of pulling the cars out of the driveway. Like, does you need help carrying your stuff to your car? I'm part of this body. I'll help you. So sometimes there's that, you know, and I think there's just part of that. We're part of the same family, which we're going to look at in a couple weeks. And so serving, whether it's playing guitar or greeting people or going on a missions trip, all those things you mentioned.
Yeah.
That might just be, I'm just serving the family. I'm just trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
But the belonging piece is a spiritual reality that Jesus says is true of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we humbly seek to love and find fidelity in pursuit of the local expression, wherever and however that is, that's just a spiritual truth that we can almost hold to. Because every spiritual truth we hold to in faith
mm-hmm.
and don't always feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is, whether it's the fact that Jesus died for us and we stand before God and made new, or the fact that he's making us new, or everything is by faith, you know what I mean? To one extent or the other. And so the reality that we're part of the body of Christ is trusting by faith, whether I feel like I'm or not. Cause there's probably seasons that we feel like, man, I'm right where I need to be. And there's probably seasons where we're like, I'm not sure if I'm where I'm supposed to be right now, but this is a spiritual truth. And so I'm going to keep, enduring along with others towards Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have much to add to that, man.
You're welcome.
Well said.
Welcome. Well, it's a great conversation, and it's just a great thing to keep kind of as you guys are running. Some of you are running listening to this. You know who you are, Matt. But we pray this is helpful. You know, yeah. Just to keep this conversation going. These pictures Jesus gives us aren't just, here's a cute idea. You know, these are foundational truths that he's given us. So good to wrestle with.